We're starting out a new series this morning called Face to Face. My goal in this series is to teach on people and look in the Bible who had face-to-face experiences with the Lord. Now, we're going to start off with John this morning, not John the Baptist, but we're going to talk about John the disciple or John the apostle and his experience with the Lord. There's so many facts about John that just blesses my heart. Some of the things that I'm going to talk to you about, and I probably will mention this again, is that there's some of it that is not recorded in the Bible, but is recorded in history. And I will point that out when I talk about it. I won't just give you, certain facts here. And if we can't prove it by the Word of God, I will be very clear. These are accounts of history versus the Bible. But John, I've always enjoyed the encounter of John and all that he went through, all that he faced. He is the only original disciple out of the 12 that was not martyred. He was not martyred. He lived to a ripe old age. There are theologians who disagree how old he was, but most of them can all guarantee that he was in his 90s. Some of them believe that he was in his hundreds, somewhere in his hundreds when he passed away. You know, this is also the disciple who Jesus trusted. He said, this is my mother Mary. She's your mother now. Let me tell you something. There are very few people in this world I would ever say, take care of my mama. Now, Jessie, if anything ever happened on me, she's smart enough, she can find somebody to take care of herself. She can do it by herself. She don't need nobody. But if she ever picks somebody, she's smart enough to find them. She's good. She's got many years where she can find somebody better than I am. I'm still working on me, still getting to the other side. She has to put up with me. Everybody pray for her. Feel for her, pray for her. But John, there's so many facts about John, and let's just rattle some of them off before we really get into it. John, now this is interesting. There are many stories in the book of John that we don't get in the rest of the Gospels. There's synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're written all with the same language, in the same stories, but John speaks of things that the rest of them doesn't speak of. But also, John is the last one written. Like John, he wrote the Gospel of John later than any of the other Gospels. I'm trying to remember how many years it's slipping me right now, how many years later after the death of Jesus that he wrote the book, but he wrote it much later than the rest of the disciples. And John, what a character! What a character John was. He was one of the brothers of thunder. We believe that he was related to Jesus. We believe that he was actually a cousin of Jesus. The wedding of Canaan? No. Yeah? Okay, thank you. Why did that not sound right when I said it out loud?
You're right.
But this is beautiful. Are you ready? There is a theory out there. You know, this is not proven, but there's a theory out there that it was actually John's wedding. Was the whole reason that Mary was even involved. Because it was family. Now, it's not proven that it was his wedding. We have no idea. But most theologians absolutely do agree that it was a family member's wedding. And they believe that Mary was actually in charge of at least the drinks, but they believe she was probably also in charge of the food, helping out the family member. And that's why she took a personal interest. It was her job to begin with. When it started running out, it would have been a reflection on the family. And that's why she got involved at the beginning. But how interesting would it have been if it really was John's wedding? And John is the one writing about it. I just find that an interesting fact out there. Now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 9. Nikki, do you want to read for me this morning? Oh, I love that. Let's get a microphone. We got the white one here. Miss Nikki, I will bring it to you. And you can read for me. You know how to work this better than I do. I'll give it to you. And Miss Nikki, you are going to read from verse 9 to verse 18. Go ahead.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Samaria, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
I'm so glad I had you read that, not me.
I am turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girth about the paps, and with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and see his eyes were flames of fire, and his feet like unto the brass, as if they burned into the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when he saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid at his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. The keys of hell and death. What is he saying? I have the ability to shut the door. I have the ability and the power, the victory over these things. But one thing I want to point out is that he had a revelation. God gave John a revelation of who Jesus was. And this is the beauty. He was face to face with the Lord. Now, we've already said that all the other disciples were martyred. The disciple Matthew was martyred. I believe that was in India, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double check my records on that. But they ran skewers through him. I mean, we have some disciples that had some very bad ends, painful deaths. So one was turned upside down and crucified on the cross by his own request. Now, this is all history. This is not recorded in the Bible. Some of this isn't recorded in the Bible, but upside down because he did not want to die the same way Jesus did. He said he was so holy, so worthy. The way that he died, I'm not worthy to die in the same manner. I don't know if I would have chosen that option, but you know, that was one of the disciples, and they did come to some gruesome ends, and they traveled the world all the way out to Asia Minor, India. I mean, they covered the area that they knew of. They just kept on going. We have history here of John. They tried to kill John. They tried to kill John. They tried to boil. See, I said that correctly. That's years of practice, because it used to be boil. They used to boil Paul, John. They tried to boil him in oil. And I don't think it was anointed oil. The history account tells us that it did not burn him. It did not touch his skin. And that while he was in the oil that they were trying to kill him with, he preached the gospel to them. I mean, that's just some boldness right there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine John in the middle of a hot tub of oil? It's probably great for his skin, you know. He gets in there. The people are expecting him to die, scream in agony. And he begins to tell them, I was with the Lord. I was with them on the day he died. I was with him in the room with the disciples when he rose again. The Lord, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead and showed himself to us. And he preached the good news. I saw him ascend to the Father. The Romans realized really quickly, we got to get rid of this man. That's why they sent him to the island. They said, get him out of here. We can't kill him. Why do you think the government would even spend money to ship his butt out? They tried to kill him. It was cheaper. And they couldn't even do it. The power of God was on them. And they were so afraid of this disciple that they said, get us a ticket on a boat now. We don't care if there's not one going. Find a boat. We'll use a boat. Get him to an island where he can't speak to anyone else. This man is dangerous. They didn't know what to do with him. And so they sent him to the island because they could not kill him. Now, history will tell us there was three emperors at this time. And we don't know which one gave the order to send him. Now, there's theologians believe that it was Nero. I've heard some say Nero. I've heard some say Claudius. But we also, there is Domitian. He was also an emperor. And so we don't know who was the one to give the order, but those are the three that would have possibly have given the order. But most people tend to believe it was Nero, at least in my studies that I can find. But I have no idea who it was, but someone gave the order to get rid of it. And so we see that they packed him up. They sent him off. But in John 1:1, now you can turn there if you want to. But John 1:1, I want you to look at this opening. This is a man who sat face to face with the Lord, who had dinner with the Lord, who traveled with the Lord, who actually, and we'll probably look at it later if we get to it, but actually he said, I put my head on his chest. I was the one the Lord loved. How great is that? I think we should all start off with ourselves with that profession, our confession of our faith. Pastor T.L. Sadler, the one the Lord loves.
Amen.
Sent his son to die for me. Jesus loved me so much. I know he loved you too, but I ain't talking about you right now. I'm talking about me. You can do this on your own time. It's my time. I am the one the Lord loved. Before the foundations of the earth, he knew me. He sent his son before I ever did anything right to die for me. Before I ever even thought that I might even deserve it, God sent it, his promise to me. I am the one the Lord loved. Did he love all the disciples? Yes! That's not the point. We're talking about a revelation. We're talking about a revelation. John had a revelation of Jesus. And can I tell you something? When it's your own family member, you better have a revelation of who they are, because you'll know them after the flesh. Is that not something we know? Our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, all after the flesh. They're family members right now. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I've known them for a long time. I love them. I'm not going to go on vacation with them, but I love them. Don't act all innocent. You know people popped in your head right at that moment. And I'm not telling you that you have to open up. You know, I don't know what has happened in your family. I'm not telling you have to open up your doors and allow people in who have done you wrong. But I'm saying that if we start to recognize people, and even in this church, if we begin to recognize people after the flesh, we won't see them correctly. John, if he recognized Jesus, his cousin, after the flesh, he would have never seen him as the Son of God. He would have never recognized that. He had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. But John 1:1. Now I want to see if you recognize this phrase from anywhere. John 1:1. In the beginning. Where do we see this phrase in the Bible? Genesis 1:1. John is opening up his gospel, led by the Holy Spirit, with the same term we see in Genesis. He's the only one that does this, and he opens it up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is letting us know his revelation that in the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. He was God. He is God. He was with God. He came down. Now, see, this is what's beautiful. He recognized from the beginning the humanity of God and the deity of God. He had a revelation of both those things. Now, after Jesus died, and probably about 30 years after, there became a teaching that around the body of believers. The believers of that day begin to hear that Jesus was not deity, that he was just a man anointed by God. And then the disciple John is hearing this, and he is writing to correct wrong teaching. He is writing to say, Jesus was more than just a man. Yes, he was a man. Yes, he defeated the enemy as a man, but he was with God. And he was God. And he came to this earth, the Word made flesh. John had a revelation of Jesus. 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1 tells us that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. I went to a Brewers game. I went to a Brewers game, and we won, by the way. It was exciting. I always enjoy when we win. But we went to a Brewers game, and I was there, and we had a home run, and I'm high-fiving people I don't know, and it's a blast. That's what I love about games. You don't have to know anybody sitting beside you. And if you're rooting for the same team, we're rejoicing together. Is that not an image of the body of Christ, what we should be? We come to church, sit beside somebody we don't even know. All of a sudden, someone shouts. We should just lift our hands. Yeah, look at that person. They just ran. That's exciting. Somebody's getting the victory. Look, look, look. Somebody over there is getting the victory. Woo! And so we praise God together. We begin to shout a little bit together. They do it at baseball games. They do it at football games. And nobody bats an eye. But in church, we need to be reserved. Let's throw all that out the window. And let's begin to praise God because people are coming in and going out. People are getting refreshed. We might as well rejoice with them. When people's lives are being changed, we should be rejoicing. And here, you won't even have beer spilled on you. Isn't that fantastic? Maybe one day, you know, communion might go a little wild. But other than that, you ain't going to have to worry about anything. It would be a small amount anyway. It's just those tiny little cups. But we should be rejoicing with those who rejoice. But, you know, we're having a good time. And one of the guys who worked there looked at me and says, Hey, were you here for, and I forgot what year it was, for that game? And I'm like, no, I wasn't. He says, oh, my goodness. He says, you know, you feel the excitement in this place right now? I'm like, oh, yeah. He says, but that day, you know, we had three balls, two strikes and three balls, and he was up to bat, and we didn't know what was going to happen. The whole crowd was silent. They were standing on edge. No one was sitting. Everybody was there, and everyone's chanting, let's go, Brewers, let's go. And then he's clapping, and he's doing the whole chant. And he said, just the whole atmosphere, it was electric. And he said, then the pitcher, he threw the ball, and then he hit it, and we're watching as the ball is through the air, and it's so close, we don't know if it's going to make it. We think it is, but maybe not. Yep, maybe, no, we don't know. And then he said, all of a sudden, a home run, and he said, we won by one. He said, the crowd went nuts. The whole crowd went crazy. And he said, that game, I watched it. I was here to see it. John is saying, you have heard stories, and some of you got it wrong. Some of you believe he was just man, but I want you to know, I was there when he fed the 5,000. I was there when he walked on water. I was there when he healed the blind. I was there. You can come to me with your stories of what you think it might be, but I saw it with my own eyes. I touched the hand that scooped out the Grand Canyon, that created the mountains. I was there. There was nothing like it. John had a revelation. John had a revelation of Jesus. But not only did John have a revelation of Jesus, he had a growing revelation of Jesus. Because at Patmos, he wrote Revelation. And how about this? John, we've already said this, was known as the Brothers of Thunder. But then he made it to, I am the one that Jesus loved. From fighting, big, going to take things, to, I am the one that Jesus loves. Revelation changed in his life. Now, again, I'm telling you, there are books and stories of history. And I want to tell you some of them that we won't be able to see in the Bible. But their history would tell us that when John was in his later years, that he went to the temple. He was traveling and he went to a temple that he normally didn't go to. And when the people saw him, somebody recognized him or found out it was John, the original disciple. And they believe at this time that he was the last one. They believe he was in his upper mid-60s to upper 70s, somewhere between there. He goes to this temple. They recognize him. They invite him to the front. "Please, John, tell us about Jesus. Tell us about the ministry of the Lord." And they said that John walked up to the front and he looked at the crowd and he said, "Love one another." And then he walked off and sat back down. And the crowd, not really wanting that as an answer, going back to John. "John, no, 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 please, please, you don't understand. Okay, we get it. But tell us more about Jesus. Tell us more about the Lord. You were with him. Tell us about him." And history says that John said one last time, "Love one another." This is the greatest commandment and the only commandment that the Lord gave us, love one another, and sat down and refused to say anything else. John, what a drastic change in his life. Now, our revelation of God, of Jesus, is also growing. I'm going to tell you something. I know more about Jesus today than I did 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, and definitely more than when I was a teenager or a child. I know more about Jesus today because I started off with Jesus is a God of judgment. That God that was going to get you. You served him. You obeyed him. You followed him. You did what he said. He would reward you. You do something wrong, he will get you. We believe Johnny Cash. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. To the backbiters, the backsliders. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. We probably should sing that one time. It's not true. But it's still good music. Still good music. But that was the mentality and still the mentality of a lot of people. You mess up, God's going to cut you down. Why? Because they had a revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. But their growing revelation has not got there where their mind has been renewed that God is not like their father. God is not like their mother or how they were treated in the world. But God is love. At this time, I want to show a video. We have a video ready to go. If I can have my ushers shut the lights. Monday. What's Monday? Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, a man who shaped our nation because he recognized the love of God. I'm going to tell you, you want to think that he never had the thought to fight back with force? Let me tell you something. People tried to mess with his family. Bomb his porch, throw rocks through his window. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, and I'm thankful, very thankful that it wasn't me in that spot. Because I don't know if I would have been as gracious and as walking in a revelation of love that man did. Because stuff might have came back out when things came in. So please never test me about my family. Let's never get there. But this man changed a nation. Changed a nation. Why? Because he had a revelation of God is love. Sound booth, you can go ahead and play that.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. All of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
A nation changed because of a revelation of love. A nation radically changed, not because of violence, not because of pure force. And I mean, look at our history. Our whole nation was based on fighting and force and settling down the West with guns. I mean, this is our nation. It's our history. And we have someone rise up and say, "No, we will not be brutal. We will not meet force with force like that. But we recognize this is spiritual. And we're going to come with the love of God, the only thing that can change the heart of men." And he came with that love and changed a nation. Thank God. And you know, I've heard in a statement that's been made time and time again that if we do not learn from the past, we are destined to repeat it. If at any time in our nation, since I have been alive, that we need to hear this dream, it is today. Not by the force of man, but by the love of God will every race be able to worship together. And that's, can I tell you one of the things I love about our church? Is that we have people from every nation represented. I am so thankful for that. And that we worship the same true living God. And that we judge people by their character and not by the color of their skin. So thankful. But John had a growing revelation. And as people, we will have a growing revelation of who Jesus is. And you know, I hear this thought, "Boy, isn't there a time to fight?" Well, I'm just going to tell you this. Let's be led by the Spirit of God in all that we do. Yeah. But everything is filtered through love. Because I'm going to tell you, you touch my family, we're going to have a problem. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you hurt one of my kids or my wife, we will deal with that with extreme prejudice. I will be led by the Spirit of the Lord in all I do. And I will tell you this. I do remember a time that Jesus flipped over tables and swung a whip. I don't know what it will look like. But, you know, there are times for things of that nature. But everything you do is filtered through love. If it's not through love, how can you do that through love? You better be doing it through love. You better be doing it through love. Everything you do, let it be filtered through the revelation of the love of God. Now, John, if you look at his background, he was a Galilean. I like Galileans. I would have had a good time with Galileans. You want to know why? Galileans were country folk. Yep. They were backwood bubbas. You know, they were forceful. They also, history would tell us that they were probably, for the majority, uneducated people. But, you know, if we take to modern day, he probably would have been, I don't know, from probably Franklin County in Florida. He probably would have had a big pickup truck, big old wheels, and went mudding, and probably would have had shotguns and rifles in the back of his window. You know, he was a country boy. He was in the outskirts of the town, and the education level probably wasn't where the rest of the nation was. And so this is who John was. He was a roughneck. He was a guy who got things done and wanted to see them. For the Galileans, they were believing for a savior that was a military savior who would have come in and wiped out the Romans. That's why a lot of people miss Jesus, because they were expecting him to be a general and they were expecting him to overthrow the Romans by military force. And then you get somebody comes in and says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." They're like, "Yeah, Lord, but when are the swords coming out? When are we going to throw these Romans out of our land? When are we going to do this?" Because the Romans were brutal. The Romans were evil. The Romans put people on crosses on the outside of town in bodies to be a warning to anyone who rose up against them. They would crush any rebellion with extreme force. And the Jews, these disciples, their own family members died. Their own family members were tortured, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Some of them were guilty of what they said, but the punishment was extreme. Some of them was not guilty of what they said. They just were in the wrong time at the wrong place. And they faced a very vengeful governor. And so John, in the beginning, was expecting brutal force out of the Lord. And John changed to love. Love one another. How is that possible? Only through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who get lost in Revelations. Anyone? 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 Okay. I've heard this a lot. We waded out in Revelation and we all drowned. But I'm going to tell you something. What really helped me with the book of Revelation, and I've made that statement before many times. I waded out in Revelation, started drowning, swim back to the shore. What was your mentality about the book of Revelation? Anyone? What is it about? Okay, see, that was my mentality. I looked at it as end times. That's the whole reason I studied Revelation, with the mentality of I'm going to find out, or at least as close as I can, when Jesus is coming back. And see, I was looking at the what and not the who. See, it's not revelations, it's revelation. It's one revelation. Now, it absolutely covers a lot of ground, but it is one revelation. And we find out what that revelation is at the beginning. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the whole book, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That if you start looking for the what, you're going to miss the whole point of the book. It's the who. It's Jesus. And then filter that book through the revelation of everything is about Jesus. John is talking about a candlestick with white hair. All this stuff going on. He had a revelation of Jesus that nobody at that time had. Now get this. How many times is Jesus mentioned the Lamb of God in the Bible? 31 times. Revelation, he's referenced as the Lamb of God 27 times. 27 times out of 31, John in Revelation is saying Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, you go back to the Old Testament, there are so many references that you can go back to of Jesus being the Lamb of God, but all the other disciples, all the other, didn't really talk about it. Book of John, he talks about Jesus being the Lamb of God two more times. So 29 times out of the 31 is all John with his revelation of Jesus being the Lamb of God. Now, let's just look. I want to bring up a couple of things that John put in the Gospel of John that we have nowhere else. Do you know the fact that we know Jesus' ministry was 3 years comes from the book of John? If we didn't have the book of John, because all the other books, they're fast. You know, they talk about the birth of Jesus. And then they get right into, you know, they go through a little bit of stuff. It's for, you know, kind of deal. And then they go right into him ministering on his last year. The book of John is the one who gives us things that happened through his first 3 years. And that's the whole reason we know Jesus was in ministry for 3 years is John. But he recorded the conversation with Nicodemus, that you must be born again. The wedding, the way he turned water into wine. This is all because of John. John tells us about the Samaritan woman at the well. John 5 tells us that the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, he was there for 38 years. We would have no record of that if it wasn't for John. John 8 tells us about Jesus rescuing the adulterous woman. What a powerful story. And it's John who gave us this. In John 9, he healed the blind man. John 11, the raising of Lazarus. We wouldn't even know that. But it was because of John's gospel when he was writing, being led by the Spirit of the Lord. John 13, the washing of the disciples' feet. That all comes to us from the book of John. And one of the reasons I think John came at it from a different angle is John played with Jesus as a child. John, when he was a boy, only knew Jesus as Jesus, Yeshua. He knew him as Yeshua. He knew him as the one who played soccer, if soccer was back then. Whatever games the kids played, baseball, football, he played with Jesus, Yeshua. That's how he knew him. I would have loved to get to the point where John's mentality and mindset begin to shift. Could you imagine serving Jesus? Or let's just say a family member. Somebody you grew up with, a friend that you grew up with, a family member that you grew up with, and all of a sudden finding out they are the Son of God. You're like, wait a minute, let me wrap my brain around this. You know, that one time I punched you in the face, I just want to say I'm sorry. There were a lot of emotions. You said something, I said something. Let's not get into blaming who's at fault. We all had a part to play, but just want to say I'm sorry. That one time when I said you were cheating, I know you didn't sin, so I'm sorry about that. But there had to come a shift, a revelation, a progressive revelation, a growing revelation of who Jesus was. That, to me, is an amazing mindset to be in, to see his face, to touch his hands, to know him all your life. But John had a greater revelation at 65 than he did when Jesus was on the earth. John had a better revelation at Patmos. They believe he was in his 80s or 90s. He had a better revelation of Jesus in his 90s than he did when he walked with him. Now, yes, John had a revelation of Jesus. John had a growing revelation of Jesus. But John also had a revelation of himself in Jesus. John 13, 23, this is my last scripture. Now, there was a leaning of Jesus' bosom on one of his disciples who Jesus loved. He's referring to himself as the one Jesus loved. The one point that I'm going to keep going back to in this series is that our revelation of Jesus is growing. That we do not have a one-time encounter. That we accept the Lord as our Savior, and that is it. We do accept Him as our Savior, but we have meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting with Jesus. And the more we meet with Him, the more we worship Him, the more we come together as a congregation and worship the Lord together, hear the Word, it will change our lives. Our revelation would grow. But this is not the only place that we come to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. In your private time, when you study the Word, when you worship God on your own, you are meeting with the Lord, and your revelation should always be growing. It should always be expanding. And I can only use my own analogies and my own experiences. But this year, I know Jesse at a greater level than I've ever known. And I look forward to knowing her next year greater than I do this year. Why? Because I spend a lot of time with the woman. I spend a lot of time with her. I get to know her. Not that everything in our life is perfect, but my Lord, is it better than the first year we were ever married? And you know, that's kind of crazy. You kind of think your first, the honeymoon, oh, how great, that experience, woo, yay. But can I tell you, if, you know, I would never go back to that time to change this time. Because this time is greater than it's ever been. Not that I still don't have changing to do in my life to make our relationship better. But it will get there, and she will just have to put up with me until I do. It's a process. But the good news is, when we're with Jesus, every time we meet with Him, our life is changing. Yes. We're experiencing Him through worship. We're experiencing Him through the Word. We're experiencing Him in our life. And we're getting a greater revelation every year. Yes. Do you know we should be transforming this year more than we were last year? Yes. Into a different being. And we'll look at a time of our life and laugh at some of the things we used to think. Because we have had a revelation and found out that's not even who the Lord was. I had a thought process that God just ratified, destroyed, nailed to the cross. Why? Because it wasn't true. Because He showed me love one another. How did John go from the Son of Thunder wanting to call fire down from heaven onto other people? Have you ever had that moment in your life? You're like, dear God, I'm not telling you what to do, but I've seen it once or twice in the Old Testament. We could kind of have some of that right now if you want to. Just let me know. I'll move out of the way a little bit. God changed the heart of John, but it was because John was willing to evolve, to change, to get rid of ideas that were wrong, to get rid of ideas that were selfish, to get rid of ideas that would please him. I'm going to end with this story. I had someone one time tell me when I made this statement, they said, "No, that's not what you wouldn't like that." And I'm like, "You don't know me." I remember there was someone who did something that was wrong. And I said out loud, "Have you ever said anything out loud?" And it was before your brain, you know, you thought you kind of said it inwardly, yeah. But it came out loud. I'm not the only person to do that. Thank you, Miss Nikki. I appreciate you. But one day somebody did something, and I just kind of said under my breath, didn't realize somebody heard me. I just said, "I'd like to hit them with a baseball bat." This was a long time ago, so calm down, everybody. Calm down. And the person beside me looked at me and said, I was in ministry at that time. And they said, "Pastor, I can't believe you said that. You don't mean that." I just looked at them and said, "You don't know me. I do mean that." And they said, no, you wouldn't feel better. You would feel bad. I'm like, "You really don't know me. I would feel good. I would feel fantastic. I might have to repent later, but at that moment, I would feel good." Okay, I'm not the only one, right? A show of hands. All right, good. Those. Okay, fine. Thank you. Yo, why did you look at me like that then? Now, there is a growing revelation. Thank the Lord. But at that moment, I just felt, I would love to just beat them down for what they have done. Thank you. But can I tell you something? There's a moment where the brothers of thunder, their hearts change. And you look at somebody and your desire is no longer, "God, move them. God, shake them for their foundation. Lord, get them." Be like, "I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're creative. I've read the Old Testament. Get up. Do whatever you do and do it so well, Lord." Your mentality changes from that. For God, I don't know what's in their life that's causing them to be this way. I don't know what hurt that they're facing. I don't know what they're going through at home. I don't know what they're going through at work. But they are obviously hurting. God, heal their heart. Father, get a hold of them. Bless them. Whatever it is they're dealing with, Father, that mountain that's in their life, move it. And all of a sudden, your prayer gets off of you. Oh, how selfish we are that our prayers are all about us and moving people out of our life and getting them. Oh, I am the anointed, the prophet of God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And you're always talking about you. But how many times have you messed up, made a mistake, stood in the way of something, but yet you don't want to take that responsibility and say, "Lord, move me out of the way for somebody else"? But we always want to focus on us and what is best for us. If you want to really know what is the best for you, everybody in this church heart is blessed. Everybody walking in the transformation of the image of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Going and moving from brothers of thunder and moving into those who say love one another. You know the best thing for us and the sinner? That they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Not that they would be destroyed, not that God would bring whole nations to the ground, but that God would save the nations, that missionaries would go to the nations. When we become more like Jesus, the focus is turned off of us and on to others. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. And all that you are doing. We talked about coming into the family of God, knowing Jesus face to face. The first step into coming into the family of God is accepting Jesus as your Savior. And I want to ask this question. You may be in this place and you may say, "I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior." I'm not saying as a child you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you walked away. I'm saying you have never confessed Jesus as your Savior. And today you know that's a step for you. You know to come into the body of Christ. That's what I must do. If you want a relationship with God and you've never had one, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Anybody in this place says, "That's me." I'm looking over this audience right now. You may say, "Pastor, at one time I had a relationship with God. I gave my life to Jesus. I confessed Him as my Savior. But I did walk away, like the prodigal son." I'm not saying you made a mistake this week and you've asked God forgiveness, because if you did, that's already taken care of. It's under the blood. But I'm saying you lived outside the plan of God. You have lived outside of a manner that you know you should have been in. And you say, "Today I'm coming home." If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everybody here under the sound of my voice. May we have face-to-face encounters with you. May our revelation always be growing. May we never be the same. God, we cannot be the same this year as we were last. God, we must grow. We must change. We don't want to be the same. We refuse to be the same. We have to change, Lord. And that will only come with us spending time with you. God, as John had, may we have a revelation of Jesus, the Son of God. God, as we leave this place, we will not leave your presence. You will lead, guide, and direct us. You will be with us. We thank you for that. God, we ask for a blessing upon our family, that we may be able to bless others. God, show us opportunities to reach out to our coworkers, our family, our environment, those that are around us. May we be more focused on your creation than we are on ourselves. May we never be the same. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody says, amen, amen. I want to thank you so much. If you have any questions of what's going on, please go to the website, ourchurchonline.com. And our calendar of events is there. You can see what's going on. If you're not a part of a life group, I'm going to encourage you to get a part of a life group where you connect your life with ours. Even Jesse was talking about this recently. When I wasn't able to go, I was under the weather. But Jesse went out with some people in our life group for New Year's. And that's what should be going on in our life groups. We should be hanging out. We should be, you know, a holiday or event is coming. We should all get together. This is our life group. This is who we do life with. And so our life group got together, and some other people were invited to outside of our life group. And you can invite other people part of your life group and got together and play games. And one of the things Jesse told me, she says, you know, I just forgot how fun it is to play games and just sit around and laugh and have a good time. So I want to encourage you, if you need some good times, if you need that connection, that friendship, connect your life with ours. And can I tell you something? I want to start more life groups, and I even have leaders in mind, but some of you are not in a life group yet. So I can't put a life group in your city yet, that there's one that needs to be there, because you're not connected yet. So get connected. Get plugged in and see how God radically changes our life and helps you help others change their life to a revelation of love one another. Hallelujah. God bless you. Consider yourself dismissed. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. Come on down and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you.